Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, August 18th, 2016. This is Payman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Every Thursday night, I conduct these weekly conference calls in which I educate the average American about the law and their rights and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Whether your issue happens to be dealing with the IRS harassing you, a state income tax agency, the police, or any government agent or bureaucrat of any kind, Freedom Law School is here to help you understand the law and your rights, the Constitution, and to use the proper procedures and steps you need to assert to defend your rights, your property, and your life to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Folks, I believe there's no law that requires the average American like you and me to file and pay the federal income tax. It's a complete fraud. It's a complete utter lie. And I had a victory over the IRS after over 13 years with these crooks. Over 13 years it took these guys to find out Freedom Law School is innocent of the nonsense, that it took them 13 years to conclude that I was not guilty of. So folks, I'm going to be sharing that victory with you, because how many organizations do you know out there trying to expose the fraud of the income tax and winning? Well, Freedom Law School was started 20 years ago, January 1st, 1996, when I started educating Americans about the law, the Constitution, and your rights, educating you about the fraud of the income tax, that there is no law requiring the average American to file and pay income tax, and letting you know that this government is out of control, is run by a bunch of corrupt criminal banksters, big money special interests, and crooked politicians like the Bushes and Clintons. Folks, it's about time for you to live free and return freedom to America at the same time. So if you go to Freedom Law School's website, livefreenow.org, you will find a lot of information there for you, and I will send you for a year a freedom education course that you will not find anyplace else for free. That's right, for absolutely free. Go to livefreenow.org, and you're going to get the education that is easy to understand, that is fun, enlightening, and it will help you live free of oppressive taxation and control a lot more than you are right now. It'll take you to a whole new level of understanding what's going on out there. A whole new level of understanding the matrix of lies that we've been living under, and with the red pill I'll be giving you to learn and understand and know the truth. So I get courses at Freedom Law School to help you live free. Many courses. These educational courses are easy to understand. And also, since 2001, I've been assisting those who need some assistance as well. That was also provided. Our top program that people like is the Royal Freedom Package, but there's more. Check it out, folks. Freedom Law School is a very unique source of freedom, a source the IRS tried to put out of business for the longest time, yet they are failed. We beat them. You got on our Facebook. We send that out to you, folks. You all, I'm going to talk about that, folks. And just like I want, folks, you can win too. You can have your personal freedom stories about how you can and have beat the IRS, folks. It's very doable. So what I'm going to do in a minute now is first, folks, I'm going to answer anybody's questions about their particular freedom issue you got with the IRS or state income tax agency or any government agency out there. I'll answer those questions first. Then I will tell you about this Freedom Law School's victory over the IRS that for over 13 years been in the making, folks. I'll talk about that. And there's a lesson to be learned, folks, for you, for all of us, about how to live free, folks. So with that, let's go to our caller from area code 219. They call from area code 219 if you have a question. Please announce yourself by giving your first name and the state you're calling from, and then your question, please. Okay, no question from the caller from area code 219. Let's go to the caller from area code 630. Do you have a question? If so, please announce yourself. Folks, if you're just waiting for me to cover the subject of our latest victory over the IRS, that's okay. You can just say no questions, and I can move on to the next caller. 630 caller, do you have a question to ask?
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hi. Where's your first name? I'm doing good. Thank you.
My first name, it's Diana. I've called you before.
From what state you call from, Diana?
Currently, I'm calling from Topeka, Kansas.
Okay. And previously, you were a different state?
Yes, I was.
Very good. Very good. Well, Diana, how may I be of assistance to you?
Well, my question is, I've just moved from California to Topeka, Kansas. I'm attempting to become a student at Washburn University here, and I'm going to pursue my bachelor's degree in legal studies and then go on to law school. One of the things that I was asked for my financial aid FAFSA is, will I file taxes, have I filed taxes? And I have not. I have not filed taxes in over 10 years. So, okay. I'm just curious that when they do, catch wind that I'm never going to file my taxes, will I then be, will I not be able to get those resources that are allocated to people in my position? Or, and when they do confront me on it, how do I defend myself?
I'm not sure what you mean by resources. That's a very vague term. Please be more specific. Well,
Are you familiar with the FAFSA, the federal aid, that financial aid that is allotted to people who are indigent or minority status?
Okay. Yes, I do know about that. I know the initials for it, but I do know about financial aid for minorities and poor people. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're talking to one. Okay. So, making the application for financial aid, one of the questions it asked was, will I file? And then it said, will not file. So I checked that one off. My question is, have you had a situation where...
I got your question. Okay. I know what your question is. Let me answer you. Okay. First of all, Diana, I'm a libertarian. I believe in freedom. And I don't like getting aid from government. I don't like the government take money from me. And I don't want to take money from me or you or us taking money from them. I just don't like that context of government dependence, number one. Number two, okay, this current concept of education, that education is you go through high school and get a 2 or 4 year college, all that or more, to me is a failed concept. It's now very much passe. okay, becoming more and more. I mean, there's a lots of people out there who got four-year degrees, and they got minimum or sub-minimum wage jobs at fast food, Walmart, some clerical jobs out there. Tons of them. Okay, so getting a degree, I'm afraid, will not help you as much as you think it does. What really will help you, in my opinion, is true education, which I'm trying to teach my children, which is you always read and educate yourself about different things and different fields. Educate yourself about real life, and then about some field. A lot of that really is on your own, reading and educating yourself about different things out there. The degrees don't help you. I got a bachelor's degree myself back in the late 80s.
Uh-huh.
From California State University, Diana. You know how many jobs that degree got me? Zero.
Probably.
Zero. Big fat zero. How much raise did ever give me a job? Big fat zero. And that was late 80s, Diana. There were better jobs out there. More middle class jobs were available. You know, now it's even worse. With all jobs going to Mexico and China and all that, there's no good jobs out there. So, but the good news is on internet, you can go educate yourself. Any subject, type in 4 or 5 keywords of what you're looking for in Google, Bing, YouTube, your search engine, and it will come up. How to do this, how to do your own floors, it'll come up. How to do your own roof, it'll come up. How to change your own oil, it'll come up. How to do this, how to do that, it'll come up. So all the time and money you'd be wasting in that corrupt institution, which has practically become a source of brainwashing the masses into believing half lies and half truths, and it provides those incompetent professors, which most of them are just PhDs that cannot get a real job in a real world out there. They become professors, okay, and they get these fantastic lifetime pensions and benefits. That's what you're really doing. Pay for that.
That's exactly right. Oh,
you know,
my gosh.
I didn't learn about, you know, about this stuff. I went to law. So I learned about law on my own. Just reading the doggone law. Listen, just reading it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now I suggest don't worry about those forms. Don't lower yourself, Diana, to those level of these people. Just go, especially, how old are you, Diana, by the way? How old are you?
I just turned 46.
Even more so, Diana. Listen, there's a thing that most employers do not want to hire someone over 50. Why? Because you're going to be hitting 65 a few years later. Okay? They want to get somebody maybe 25, 30, you know, maybe 40, because you're going to be around for a while. You know, so you're not that far from that. By the time you're done education, you'll be 50. This is that, you got that reluctance coming. Reluctance. Learn something on your own. Online and start doing it. It's my best tip. Seriously, any business, any profession, or some network marketing, something, opportunities out there. Learning about, you know, there's so much stuff coming about. I know people are making videos and put it on YouTube and get a penny for every time somebody clicks on that, YouTube pays them. That's one thing. I know people do all kind of stuff, you know. So there's a lot of stuff that you can be doing. I'm just giving you just a few examples. A lot quicker and make a lot more money and have your own independence out there. The question is, look for different things that have interest. Another thing I suggest is lots of alternative health educations out there. A lot of them. And, you know, because really the current medical system we have for the last 150 years is a failed, corrupt system of drug companies controlling the curriculum of the medical schools, who brainwashed the doctors, that after, you know, 10 years, 12 years of post-high school education, the solution is drugs, surgery, radiation, you know, not net health and nutrition, not real modalities that help you. They got, you know, so that more people are finding out that stuff don't work and are looking for real alternative health solutions and are paying for it cash, even though their insurance company doesn't cover it, even though Medicare doesn't cover it. The hell with those things. The hell with insurance companies, corruption. The hell with the government handouts to subsidize the drug companies and doctors and insurance companies and Obamacare. You need real health. Go look for good nutrition and different modalities out there. You can do that stuff out there. So that's my suggestion to you. You know, and on that field, you know, those forums, I'm not going to get involved in that tangled. I don't like helping people get more money from the government. You know, I say just stay out of it and don't bring yourself down. That is my best tip to you. And I think you'll be long term much happier and more prosperous.
Thank you. I appreciate your advice.
You're welcome. If I can help you in any way in those fields, call me. I'll be happy to help you out because I really believe in folks, you, the freedom lovers, who think outside the box, who know the world is changing. The old ways of doing things, not just technologies, but the schools are failing. Okay. You need to be at the forefront of doing something different, something better. And you can do it, folks. And I'd be happy to help you out any way I can. The call from area code 252. Do you have a question or are you waiting for the talk about Freedom Loss of Victory tonight? Okay. Let's go to our next caller from area code 916. Do you have a question, call from area code 916? If so, please announce yourself.
Just listening in.
Very good. Let's go to the call from area code 949, Orange County, California. Do you have a question, my friend? If so, please announce yourself now.
Hi, Paymon. This is Kevin over in Brea, California. How you doing?
Good. From Brea? Okay, that's North Orange County with the 949 area. Okay. All right. Very good, my friend.
But, I called in a while back. Trying to get some advice on a traffic case. I just want to give you an update. I defeated that traffic case. So that was good news. It went from a misdemeanor.
Great.
They tried to reduce it to an infraction and reducing the fines. I rejected their offer and then they dismissed it.
Good job. You called their bluff. See, Kevin, hold on. Let's share this victory of you, my friend, with other people, you know, because we need people to hear about this. You see, folks, our student victories, I don't always find out about them until people like Kevin call me some once in a while. I was like, great. Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong. You were charged with a traffic ticket, which was a misdemeanor, which means you could go to jail up to 6 months technically, right? What was the ticket for, by the way?
I didn't know that my license was suspended for an old ticket that I didn't pay. But I went and took care and paid that old ticket and got my license and good status and all that stuff. And they still didn't want to do it. You know, they still wanted to nail me. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, so I was like, forget this. They want to play these games. I'm just going to fight it. And, filed my motions. I filed my, Brady request, motion dismiss, and all kinds of stuff. Well, what else did I file? Well, after they forced me into after he entered a plea on my behalf, that's when I filed my motion limiting. But anyways, it's funny because when I went to the arraignment, the prosecutor, they try to, you know, take you out in the hall and try to settle with you and make you sign some papers. I didn't sign their papers. I said, I'm not signing that. And I said, you got my motions that I filed last week, right? And of course, they played stupid. And they're like, oh, we don't have anything. I'm like, oh, well, here's a stamp from the DA's office right here. So your office has it. I don't know why you haven't received it. And then, of course, when I went into court, because I filed it with the DA's office and with the clerk of the court, too. So I had stamps from both offices showing that each office had copies of everything.
And of course, Good job.
I went in there. Yeah, and of course the judge played stupid too and said they didn't have anything. And I said, oh, really? I'm like, here's the stamp, you know. And it was like over a week before I went there, and they played stupid too. And then, of course, what they do in the courts here, they send you over to like another courtroom to go over your motion, so you're in front of a completely different judge. And
right,
of course they try to.
Oh, hold on, stop. Let me comment. They do that. They do that, Kevin. And I know why they do that. Okay, because they see you got something. You're gonna beat these guys, and they don't want the sheeple to see you battling out, winning over them, and embarrassing them that you can't win. So to send you some other place, another courtroom, where after all the cases are done, then they hear your case and dismiss, they let you win, but nobody else sees it. Is that pretty much what happened?
Oh, yeah. And not only that, but they also try to, when you fill out that Feretta waiver, present yourself, they try to, like, bully you and intimidate you and scare you into, like, oh, do you know that this person has this many years of degree, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, I don't care, you know, most of these attorneys, they don't even, they're fresh out of college and they don't even, you know, they don't even have any experience or that much knowledge anyways. It's like anybody can pick up the Constitution or, you know, the California Constitution or whatever and read it. It doesn't take, you know, a degree to read this stuff, you know? And so they try to intimidate you in that way too. And, the judge completely ignored all my denied all my motions, but he completely ignored my Brady request. And then when I did challenge them on my request of evidence proving jurisdiction, you know, they tried to railroad me, and of course the prosecution says, "Oh, well, we gave the defendant all the evidence, blah blah blah." I'm like, "Well, you didn't give me what I asked for." And then it took me, you know, 2-3 times going to court and playing their games, but you know, at least I got it completely dismissed, and I you know, didn't have to worry about any points or anything going on my license and, you know, getting any criminal charges or anything, whether it was an infraction or not, you know.
So what happened when you fell in front of the last judge? How was it that he ended up dismissing your case? Tell me about that part, please.
Oh, because after I went through my motions and went back to the other court, and he sent me back to the other courtroom, I'm thinking he completely didn't even touch my Brady request, or I forget which one it was. Yeah, I think it was a Brady request. One of my motions he completely ignored. Like, he only went over 3 out of 4, and I didn't say anything. I waited to get back to the other courtroom thinking, oh, he didn't go over this, so I'm just going to hammer on this. But as soon as I got back to the other, that's when one of the attorneys from the DA's office came over and was like, oh, we're just going to go ahead and dismiss your case. So then just before the end of the day, before lunch or whatever, the judge was about to go for recess. And that's when the guy from the DA's office is like, oh, I got one more case, Your Honor. And then the same judge who was giving me so much grief, he's like, oh, it looks like they want to dismiss the people wanted to dismiss your case. So it was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. How it goes from giving me, you know, complete and utter hard time to going, oh, it looks like they want to dismiss your case. It's like, you know, these people, you know, drive me crazy. But, you know, those are the games that they play. They try to intimidate you. They try to, you know, they'll ask you questions over your emotions, like, do you even know what this means? So, you know, they try to, you know, play mind games with you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But
so the very end of it.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Sad. The very end of the morning session is when they dismissed your case.
Yeah, on my third trip to court, which I didn't even tell you. On my the time that I went where I had filed the motions, it was like my second time to court. Because I filed all I had my motions in there, and he knew that I had my motions. The judge came out and said, he basically said, when I told him that I had filed my motion, he said, oh, those are going to be taken by another court. He's like, you're supposed to appear on this date, you know, and then he got up and walked off the bench like right away. It was so funny. Like, he came out, addressed me up, and then I tried to address my motions, and he said, oh, that'll be heard by another judge. And then he said, you're supposed to appear on this date, and he got up and went off the bench. So that was the second time I went to court. So it was the arraignment, and then I think the pretrial was that time. And that judge, like, he was totally scared. Like, he just said, you're supposed to be here on this date. I'm not hearing any further matters on this. And then got up and walked out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that judge, they're railroad judges. They're just ticketing agents. Hey, plead guilty. This is a fine. Plead guilty. they're fine. They don't bother reading court cases and legal briefs. They don't deal with that.
Yeah.
They'll let somebody else do that. And even then, you're the judge. They don't want to spend their time on a traffic ticket with legalese. So they're just, dismiss the cases, which they do just to get rid of you because they don't have the time to mess with you. It's just like, okay, fine, we'll just let you go. So that's why resisting tyranny works, folks. Try it,
Absolutely.
So good. I'm glad Kevin used a Freedom Law School's course to help him do that. So that's good, my friend. I'm glad you did.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Now, another thing I wanted to touch on real quick is that last lady that was on the student loans and stuff like that. I wanted to touch on that because I have a recent success on that aspect. I've been spending
hold on. Listen, a lot of people wait a minute, my friend. People are waiting for me to announce the details of the Victory of Freedom Law School, and I don't want to keep them holding too much. Let me answer their questions or anybody else. And at the end of all that, I'll be happy to have you tell her and me about this issue that you know more about for Diana. That'd be great. Okay, no problem.
Absolutely.
Do you have any other questions you want to ask me right now, Kevin? That's
no,
it.
No question.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your victory. I really appreciate that, Kevin.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. Keep going at it. Let's see. I think we got a couple more people with questions. Perhaps call from area code 419. Do you have a question? If so, please announce yourself now.
Hi, this is Chris.
Okay.
Kelly.
Chris. Okay.
How you doing?
Chris, what state are you calling from, Chris?
Coming from Toledo, Ohio.
Ohio. Very good, Chris. How may I help you, my friend?
Yeah, I got an issue with the unemployment. I got fired because I was sick at my job. I was getting a lot of respiratory infections, and my hands were swelling up because I was dealing with upholstery. So they had denied me and stated that was misconduct because of the attendance. I'm like, I got legal papers showing this. And they said, well, no, you got absences that is not.
Who's that? Who do you work for, Chris?
I work for MTS Burgess in Michigan.
Who's
so
that?
With Michigan.
Who's that? I don't know. Who's that? Is that a private company or a government entity?
It's a private company, but I'm dealing with Michigan unemployment.
Okay.
I was just thinking if you had any type of remedies.
Let me stop you right there, Chris. That is not something I specialize in, honestly. Again, I don't specialize if anybody in government's going to pay you any money. You know, I'm here to help you, not the government, steal your money in the first place. But whether it's unemployment, student loans, things like that, that's not something I deal with. I don't know about that. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a bar-approved lawyer training doing that stuff. I'm a freedom fighter. I'm trying to restore freedom. I turned into law because I was involved with the Libertarian Party to teach people to vote for freedom for libertarians. Then I found out that that's not working very well and heard about the law and the Constitution and income tax being a fraud. So start educating myself and others about all these issues. So I help people because it's a political legal fight for freedom, for restoring the Constitution all at the same time. There's benefits that start up getting people unemployment and student loans like Diana was asking. I don't deal with these things, my friend, because that's not dealing with oppressive taxation and control. The way you get out of these controls is don't take money from them in the first place. It's my attitude, my approach, to be honest with you. So I don't know on that unemployment issue. What I would suggest the best tip I could give you is open up the Yellow Pages, look for lawyers that deal with unemployment, okay, unemployment issues, okay, and there are the ones that have that in their ads. Start from the back of the Yellow Pages and go to the front.
I don't deal with it. I really don't deal with attorneys like that because I only represent myself, being myself. But what do you think about the Rule 5.1? If it's a constitutional challenge, to challenge the statutes.
I don't know what Rule 5.1 you're speaking about.
it's a federal rule that challenged the it's a constitution versus general law versus special law.
Oh, okay. So you want to say law is unconstitutional. Well, what about it?
Correct. So they're using some unconstitutional laws to dictate our freedom, our actions from the Constitution? I mean, could that also be argued on a point?
Well, yes, it may be, but I'm not sure if it applies to you and your situation. Your situation is unemployment situation. Okay. Somehow they didn't categorize you correctly to get those benefits from the government. So that's not a constitutionality. You're not challenging the constitutionality of unemployment. That's not what you're saying. You're saying is that you are not correctly categorized to be entitled to the benefits that the law provides. So that's not something that has anything to do with the constitutionality of anything.
Okay.
So you need to talk to a lawyer that deals. That's okay. Well, that's why, folks, everybody needs to take, in my opinion, Freedom Law School's very first course at a minimum. Minimum is called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1. A course in law and procedures for those who are committed to living a free life. It's $300 only, 20 hours of audio education, an hour and a half video, and 200 pages of paperwork with a 90-day, 100% unconditional money-back guarantee. If you're not totally satisfied, I mean totally satisfied, send it back. I'll give you $300 back. If you need more time, I'll extend it to 6 months, a year, if you want to study the material. But this is what you all need to have coming out of high school to know about the law and your rights. What you're asking, my friend, you would not be asking this question about Rule 5.1 if you had the basics to know that this situation you have is not about the unconstitutionality of a tax. It's about qualifying for the standards to receive the benefit, my friend. Okay?
Right,
that's my best advice.
Can I ask you one more question before you go?
Sure, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, we could do them on tickets, correct?
A traffic ticket?
Right.
What about a traffic ticket?
Can we use the constitutional challenge for the traffic tickets, for the statutes, because those are special laws?
Probably, most likely not. In some cases, yes. Depends on the state law. If the state law is written in an unconstitutional manner, you could challenge it. It's not a silver bullet thing, my friend. Somebody told you about that Rule 5.1 and as if it's a silver bullet. You know, there's nothing special. It's just if a law is unconstitutional, you argue about it. That's all. But most laws are not. Most are unconstitutional on their face. You know, I don't see it helping you in any way. Do you have another situation besides your unemployment that you're fighting right now, Chris?
Yeah, I have a traffic ticket. I have a suspended driver's license, which I don't even care to have. But I haven't had license since 1999. So they caught me one day and stated that my license was suspended. I said, how could you suspend something that's not even in existence?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I hear you. That was exactly my situation in California. In California, I didn't have a license since 1993 or 1994. And later on, they suspended it. I didn't have no license. I had given it up. I didn't renew it. You know,
right.
On purpose. So they do that stuff, you know, unfortunately. But I do have a traffic course on how to beat all traffic tickets, the course that you heard Kevin, our first caller, talk about, which is based upon California law. As you may know or should know, America's 50 countries or states in the union. Every state has its own traffic laws, which are a little bit different than your other laws. So, you know, you need, so you need to get the, not the just a level one course, which is a basic traffic tickets in there, and the traffic course, which is the on traffic tickets specifically. But you also need to take a level two course, which shows you how to do legal research and advance skills. You need to be able to find the traffic laws of Ohio and beat them there. So, you know, you'll learn a lot more than that, though, but you'll learn about the IRS, state income tax agencies, you know, privacy, banking, social security number, privacy, writs, appeals, civil rights lawsuits, and more in those courses. And I'm not sure if you want to do that just for a traffic ticket. It'd be worthwhile to get all these courses, but it depends on how committed you are to learning and living free. You know, so, but if that's something that's available that I think will help you, and I would do it if I was you, but whether you want to do it or not is a personal call you got to make.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. Okay, we got a call from area code 512. If you have a question, call from area code 512. Please announce yourself.
It's just me, Paymos Roger. I'm just listening.
Hey, Roger. Good to hear you. One of our regular callers. Glad to have you back. Let's see. I think Eric called from area code 630 and 252 and 219. You guys were all given an opportunity to ask your questions. So, right? Is that correct? If not, and announce yourself now, guys. Anybody has a question, give me your name and a telephone area code. Okay. It looks like there's nobody else with any more questions. I'm going to proceed to the subject of this conference call, which I emailed everybody about and put it on our Facebook page also about Fiume Law School's victory over the IRS. Folks, if you get the link that was sent on our Facebook or email, you can get there, livefreenow.org/victories-testimonials/IRS-victories. That's the address of it. So if you go there, you'll see, you know, how IRS declared that Freedom Law School is not an abusive tax shelter promoter. Freedom Law School president, me, Pema Montehede, I'm not an abusive tax shelter promoter. Now, there's a link on that. If you click on that link, okay, it's a short letter from the IRS, very short, just two short paragraphs written to me personally, to Paymon Motahede, and they don't even say my full name. You know, they're so lazy and stupid when they have to write a letter. That's not, you know, they don't, it's not addressed to Mr. Paymon Motahede. They just put Mr. Motahede. You know, I mean, come on. You got to put first and last name, both. She signed it Roma Patel, her first and last name, but she neglected it with my first name out there. But that's okay. I'm the only one of the very few Motahedes out there in American world. July 11th, 2016, from San Diego, California. I used to live in California. Now, how did my case ever get to San Diego? I don't know. I know this other person in Santa Ana, California was looking at me as an abusive tax shelter promoter, okay, and Laguna Niguel in Orange County, but the case got apparently forwarded to somebody in San Diego named Roma Patel. So she says in a letter to me that we, meaning the IRS, are discontinuing our investigation into whether you are liable for a penalty under Internal Revenue Code sections, whatever, about the seven different IRS code sections. Okay, so now you've never seen this issue before, a letter, you're thinking, what are they discontinuing? Where did they start that they stopped? When they started the whole case, and for them to discontinue it now, right? That's a good question. We'll get into that. But these sections have to do with someone who is an abusive tax shelter promoter or someone who prepares fraudulent tax returns. The IRS was given the power to shut down any organization that does any of those two things and impose penalties on those individuals who do that. And that's what these code sections in a letter are referring to, are about. So the IRS is writing me this letter because by law they are required to notify you if they are stop looking at you as an abusive tax shelter promoter, if the investigation stops. So here they're telling me that they've stopped. Okay. Now, of course, they don't want me to come and tell you guys about that I beat the IRS. So what they do, they put this language afterwards to let me know that we're not giving you our seal of approval that you're kosher. Like, I expected them to say that. And I would never expect them to say that. But I'm telling the IRS is fraud. They're liars. They're thieves. They're criminals that are breaking the law and stealing American people's money in violation of the law. I never expect them to come and put a seal of approval on my speech. But anyways, they come and say, this letter should not be construed to mean that the Internal Revenue Service approves your conduct. Well, thank you. I very much knew that, guys. You don't approve of me. I don't approve of you. Rather, it is simply a notice that our investigation has been discontinued at this time. At this time. Oh, so in other words, it doesn't mean that our investigation against you may not start again next week, next month, next year, 5 years from now. Hey, we can start a new investigation. Only on this July 11, 2016, we stopped. We might start one next week. As far as I know, they could have started one again now. Here we are, August 18th, a month later. They could have started one theoretically. Of course, they had to add more language, which was unnecessary. That the IRS is not precluded from taking any additional action against you or others with respect to your conduct. Well, fine. I never claimed that. You know, you cannot take further action against me for whatever conduct that I might do that might break the law. Well, duh. Did I claim that I'm immune from prosecution, from breaking the laws? You know, I never claimed that. I'm not Hillary Clinton. Yes, Secretary of State, former Senator, former First Lady, Hillary Clinton, she is above the law. Okay? The United States Department of Injustice is precluded, is prohibited from taking any additional action against her, Hillary Clinton, and her associates with respect to the criminal conduct of Hillary Clinton, because she's killed people. Hillary Clinton and her husband have killed a lot of people when they were Arkansas's governor and afterwards. A lot of people, bodyguards, you know, friends, close friends, died. Suicides, amazing number of suicides next to these people. And so, you know, if you take one piece of paper of classified information out of government offices, you've broken national security laws and you'd be prosecuted. But, for example, Jello Petraeus had an email to his girlfriend on a Yahoo account that would never even send out emails. She did just leave the message in the draft of email. She read it and erased it, and vice versa. But because it was a little bit of maybe national security, very, very little bit in there, he was charged and he pled guilty. General Petraeus, head of the Central Intelligence Agency. He headed the war in Iraq and became CIA head. He was prosecuted, pled guilty, made a deal. But not Hillary Clinton. Along, you know, because her buddy Obanga, or, you know, Mr. Obanga from Kenya, you know, protected her. Okay, told their buddy in the U.S. Department of Justice, I forgot her name, that black female criminal, you know, who met with Bill Clinton on an airplane, on a tarmac, privately, to talk about his wife's, you know, grandchildren, right, supposedly. You know, they will not take action against her for doing FarWars, for setting up a server that emails of all sorts, including classified and top secret material, came to her server. They were automatically rerouted, automatically taken out of official government possession from the get-go. She's Hillary Clinton, and the United States Department of Justice is precluded from taking any action against this woman, this criminal murderer, Hillary Clinton. Now, for me, they say, the IRS says, that they can come after me, which includes the commencement of income tax examinations of investor / participants whom you advise or aided. You know, folks, this language of investors and participants, that applies to abusive tax shelter promotions. You know, that assumes that I had people that invested in some abusive tax shelter promotion. I had people that participated in my tax shelter promotion. I didn't have any investments of any kind or tax shelter to have participants or investors in the first place for me to have advised or aided. It's like, this doesn't apply to your homosexual lover that you may have beat up and you stop beating. Same ridiculous assumptions they have. I never had a homosexual lover in the first place to beat up in the second place, to stop beating in the third place. That's the nonsense these idiots at the IRS have. That's how incompetent these guys are, because they don't even see how their own language is so presumptive and assumptive. It's just funny, ridiculous. Now, she says, if you have any questions, please contact me. Oh, I'll contact her. I've been a little busy, but I will contact her about this, you know, them not understanding English. You know, they hire people. I guess this Roma Patel sounds like someone from India. They need to give her an English lesson. And the letter, by the way, if you look at the bottom of the letter, bottom right of the letter, it's a form letter. Bottom right, it says letter 1866 in parentheses, REV. .7-2008, revised July 2008, catalog number 61481V. These guys don't even take the time to write a letter on their own. The letters are provided for them, pre-formatted with these assumptive language to begin with. So anyhow, now you say, Paymon, you said there's 13 years that you're under investigation. Years, 13 plus years. And how you know that? Well, if you go back to the Freedom Law School link on livefreenow.org, which I gave you, where it says Freedom Law School declared not an abusive tax shelter promoter, in second paragraph, I mentioned the IRS's initial investigation of Freedom Law School in 2003. So you click on that, and you'll see how this investigation started way back in 2003, okay? And the article, if you go down in the article, you see it got hyperlinked. There's five different blue hyperlinks in there. Okay. And the first one that you see, you click on that, it'll come up. It's a letter written to me in April 16, 2003 by, on the bottom right, shows signed by Frank Nixon, area director. Okay. SB / SC compliance, area 14, the small business self-employed. And that's doesn't have and he's in Laguna Niguel, by the way, this guy. Laguna Niguel, he signs the letter himself by hand. But on the top right, it says, don't contact him, but contact M. Steberg, Marilyn Steberg. Santa Ana, California, office of the IRS, right? Which says, Mr. Motayade, we've reviewed certain materials with respect to your tax shelter promotions. Okay. Including but unlimited to Freedom Law School and related promotions. We are considering possible actions under sections, five different sections of the Internal Revenue Code. These sections relate to penalties and injunctions for aiding and abetting an understatement of tax liability and or for promoting abusive tax shelters. All something, all assuming, you know, that I'm doing these things, that I have a tax shelter promotion of any kind, assuming that Freedom Law School is a tax shelter promotion. Well, if you click on a second one, second hyperlink in there, it's my letter to Ms. Steeper in response, May 14, 2003. Okay. And you can read it for more detail. And what I do, I just ask a bunch of questions, you know, about their letter, the assumptive letter. Okay. You know what? And you can see that, you know, in there, I ask them, I tell them the first paragraph, I'm writing to get some answers and clarification. Okay. And I told them in the next paragraph, I want them to help you understand how their request for a meeting might relate to any of my tax responsibilities they talk about. And I'm trying to have in the next paragraph an open, honest communication with them. I really do. I really am trying to have open, honest communication with these idiots, you know, at the IRS. And I'll quote from their fourth paragraph from their own guiding principles of the IRS. That they say that, you know, they insist on total integrity. And I ask them, well, can I expect total integrity from them? You know, so, and then, because the first one about, understanding, you know, things is because they said in their mission statement to helping people understand and meet their tax responsibilities. You know, well, okay, help me understand that. So then, I go to the letter, how they assume that I have a tax shelter. Okay. It's assumed assumptive and presumptions. And then just clear, go boom, boom, boom. You know, ask them, what do they think you guys doing? You know, and they want to meet with me. They want to talk with me. Right. So if you go to the link number three, the May 15, 2003, IRS summons. They summoned me, like try to order me to come and meet with them. That's right. For periods on a fourth line from the top, 1998 to 2003. They want to come talk to this Marilyn Steberg, okay, to meet with them at the IRS office in May 2003. So she summons me, this Marilyn Steberg. Okay. And then you go down the letter after a bunch of form letters, and you see on page 5, you go down, there's a form 4564, you know, that they ask anything about Freedom. It applies to Freedom Law School, me, Freedom Church, Freedom Law School, American Justice Foundation, and the Freedom Dollars. I have no idea what that is, a Freedom Dollar. What she's talking about. I'll have to get some. Where are some Freedom Dollars? any entity plan or arrangement created by these entities, you know. So all this nonsense. And they ask the next pages all kind of information like live beasts exist or it is any of their business. You know, they ask all this stuff because assuming, you know, that I'm doing something wrong. You know, it's pages of this nonsense, right? So, like they ask, for example, the last request they have on page 10 is all rental and lease agreements in any way to the promotions. So how do a lease agreement or rent relate to any promotions? I don't know. So then you go to a letter, the fourth response that I wrote to them in May 29th, 2003. You go back in the article I wrote, then click on that. And here I go ask this Merrill Steberg more questions. And I let him know, look, I have no problem meeting with you, lady. You know, it's not a problem. But, you know, you live 80 miles away, you know, from me. You're not so close, okay? And if you'd be more clear about what you're talking about, then maybe you can go someplace. But right now, you guys are vague, you know, about, you know, what you want. And I tell him, I get a letter on April 16th from Mr. Nixon, okay? And then I tell him I sent a Freedom of Information Act request to find out what's going on. What these guys are talking about. Ask them a few questions. Okay. And so I told them, look, she didn't answer my previous letter. I asked her, hey, you didn't answer my questions. You know, instead of giving me some clarification, because this is my follow-up letter to this Marilyn Steberg. You know, now you just send me a summons to come and meet with you? I mean, come on. You know? So they couldn't get out of it. Take a few minutes to type up a letter, in a clarification letter, you know, instead of having, you know, have me drive 3 hours back and forth to, you know, she actually drove. They had to drive, folks, a round trip ticket travel, 3 hours. She had to waste her time 3 hours to deliver me that summons in person. Yeah. Instead of writing a letter to me, which is ridiculous. Why couldn't she simply respond to my letter? That would take less time than 3 hours, and it would, you know, save a lot of gas and wear and tear, save American people's money. Okay. So I said, look, now you want to meet with me May 15th. Now you want to meet with me on the second page on June 2nd. So which one do you want me to go to? Is it the June 2nd date or the May 15th one? You know, should I forget about the May 15th letter, you know, that Frank Nixon sent me, you know? And I asked him more clarification. I said, look, explain this stuff. Answer my questions. I asked him my previous letter. And we could meet somebody locally, you know? We can meet in Hesperia, the city next door to Phelan. Or somebody's halfway between you, you know, I was in Phelan and she was in Santa Ana, maybe in Ontario, right? So in response to all of this, finally, go back to the article, the fifth the hyperlink article, June 5th, is a response of Marilyn Steberg, June 25th, 2003. Basically telling me they're back right now, you know, we don't need to meet. So this letter, folks, is one of the very few letters I've seen written by an IRS agent that's not a form letter. It's Marilyn Steberg. Kudos to her. Sat down, actually typed up a letter. Okay? Unusual for an IRS agent to have that level of intelligence. So first, the offer that, hey, we could meet someplace in San Bernardino, a little bit closer to me. Don't have to go so far. And that we could record, you know, the conversation, you know, an audio recorder or have it a quarter pour. There's no problem. And then she started answering my questions and saying that the date of the informal meeting, the May 15th, has passed. Okay. And then now they made a formal request, the summons. And so therefore they expect me to give them copies of all the stuff that they want. Copies of all this nonsense that I don't even have. And if I had, none of the business, because I'm not an abusive tax loss promoter anyhow. Okay. And they say that if I don't meet with them, oh, they threatened me. Oh, first page, paragraph 3, last sentence. We will have no other recourse but to proceed formally to enforce the summons by court to go before a judge. Waste the judge's time to force me to meet with them and the summons and give them everything they want. Wow. I was shaking in my boots. Right? Come on, guys. So she goes on. I ask him, what is this meeting about? Audit, summons, some other kind of meeting, you know? There's no tax return there, you know? She says, well, they're not doing that. They're conducting an investigation of my involvement and my and Freedom Law School into my activities as a promoter of tax shelter, if in fact I am promoting a tax shelter. Okay, and that they have a meeting to provide me an opportunity to demonstrate that I'm not promoting an illegal tax shelter. And they say that the best way for me to do that is if I'm not promoting an illegal tax shelter, is to provide them all the information they want and fully cooperate, give them everything they want. So if the government writes to you and says, look, come and prove to us you didn't rob a bank. And the way to prove us you didn't rob a bank is come give us everything you got about your life and work and business and church, school, everything. Give us all your life records. And based upon that, we'll tell you if you robbed a bank. Does that make sense? Is that the way we conduct justice and investigation in America? Not in criminal cases. But when it comes to the IRS, that's the way they do it. They presume and assume in the IRS that you are guilty. You come, give us everything we want, and we'll look at it and say, yeah, I'm not sure if you're guilty or not. We'll tell you, right? Now, notice they don't give me the option to delete all my emails and destroy documents like Hillary Clinton gave to her lawyers to delete 33,000 emails, wipe out the servers. You know, they give her a chance to cover up and hide their crimes of Hillary Clinton by letting her lawyers go wipe the computer off clean first, then give it to the FBI. They don't give me that opportunity here. So this is how they turn justice upside down. So they say, that being said, we note that you not have filed income tax returns since 1991. Well, so what? So what? Actually, that's not correct. I filed 2 years with my ex-wife for year 1990. Was it 1997 and 1998? Last one was 1989. I did not file a tax return in 1990 or 1991. So what the heck is she talking about? Well, I did a file tax return in 1991, but you go figure. The IRS computers are all jacked up. So the next paragraph, they say, I understand that you're concerned that we have already made a determination that you are a promoter of illegal tax shelters. Well, this is not true. We have simply found sufficient information on the internet to indicate that you may be promoting illegal tax shelters. And the underline, maybe. And that determination is sufficient to warrant further investigation. Okay. Well, guess what? It took him over 13 years. 13 years to find that, you know, they're going nowhere. There's nothing there. There is no abuse of tax shelter promotion, idiots at the IRS. 13 years with Hillary Clinton. They have all evidence of their committing crime. All the evidence is there. Deliberately having the official government business at the highest levels of national security, top secret, diverted to her home. And her lawyers, in conspiracy with her, destroy these emails, who could have shown more of the crime. Still, it was found that some of them were so top secret, the congressional committee members who are looking at this did not have the authority, you know, security clearance by CIA, NSA, and these guys to look at those top secret emails of Hillary Clinton. She deliberately does all that, and within a year, they say, oh, there's not enough to go on. Head of FBI, that crooked James Comey with a straight face says, no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute this because, geez, we couldn't prove intent. Well, intent in many of these laws she violated was not necessary at all. Just removing the files, classified documents, is a crime. Intent is not necessary at all. Period. He injected intent when inject was not necessary to begin with, because Hillary Clinton violated multiple laws that required no intent. And the laws that required some intent, well, she clearly had the intent. Why would she take the server to all emails go to her home? By the way, Bill Clinton was a co-conspirator in all this. Yes, former President Bill Clinton. He is another criminal co-conspirator. He should have been charged too, along with all the associates of Hillary Clinton and her lawyers. All of them went wrong in her conspiracy to get all these emails diverted to her home in her basement in multiple servers that she accessed through multiple devices, according to the James Comey, head of FBI. This is all confirmed. And then she destroys it. Duh. Why would anybody destroy stuff? Duh. To cover up their crime. That's how you prove intent. That is circumstantial evidence that you take to a jury. And the jury finds that. You first take it to a grand jury to investigate. The grand jury issues an indictment if they see enough likelihood of a crime, which a grand jury would have done that. The grand jury would have certainly indicted Hillary Clinton. And then the trial jury at the end would have decided to convict her or not. But no. FBI criminal head James Comey, I don't care if he was appointed by a Republican. So what? They're all a bunch of crooked criminals. Heads of FBI, Department of Injustice, you know, all these top guys at the top levels of power, they don't get there by being good guys. They're criminals who are rewarded for covering up down below. And they go up there and they know they got to do more criminalities or more cover-ups. Okay, that's how they get rewarded to move up. That's how the Clintons moved up. The ladder of power. So the FBI says we don't recommend going further. The Department of Justice says no. But really, what the U.S. Department of Injustice should have done is to take the case of Hillary Clinton to the grand jury, citizen grand jury. Let them decide if there's probable cause. But the U.S. Department of Injustice would not let that happen. Why? Because of the fact that if they were to do that, well, guess what? Citizen grand jury would have very, very likely have indicted Hillary Clinton. So, you know, that's why they did not take that case to the grand jury. Loretta Lynch, yeah, that criminal, political prostitute, okay? You know, she decided not to take the case to a citizen grand jury. See, keep the citizens out of it, those pesky citizens. They think we have rule of law for everybody equally. They think we're equal under the law, the average American. They don't know that we have two sets of justice. One for the average guy and for one for the top criminal insiders like Hillary Clinton. Okay. So, yeah, they don't come after her. You know, in 1 year, they say, it's done, over. And in congressional committees, these Democratic congressmen say, she's been cleared of wrongdoing. Hillary Clinton is cleared of wrongdoing in less than 1 year. But with me, Dick Giara, 13 years to say that I've done nothing wrong. Well, anyhow, that's not the only victory Freedom Law School has had. I've had many more victories against the IRS, and our students, more importantly, have had a lot of victories as well. That's what a lot of victories our students have had. So you can see them on this page. You know, many of our student victories, you see there, Freedom Law School beats IRS for illegally taking money. Below that, you see another victory I've had. They came after me for over $700,000, you know, with a bunch of tax liens. That's how I covered that another time. I zeroed that, folks, and many more. The point of all this is what? You can beat these crooks also at the IRS. You can live free too. If this immigrant from Iran, who English is a second language, if I could beat the IRS, you, who English is your first language, you certainly can do it better than me. I had nobody give me a course like Freedom Law School's first course to help me learn about how to use a law library, how to write a legal brief, you know, things like that. I had to learn those on my own from various sources and I'm independent research of my own. For you, it's all provided for you, my friends, on a silver platter. The course is called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1. And all of our other courses and freedom packages, even the Royal Freedom Package, which includes responses on limited consultation to get these thieves off your back, in IRS off your back, they all include the Level 1 course as their most basic initial foundational part. So at the minimum, you all start with a Level 1 course. And listen to it in your car as you go to work, shopping, supermarket. Folks, you're going to educate yourself. You're going to be so happy you did. You don't understand the law and your rights. You have so much confidence with yourself that, man, I understand this stuff now. It's not so hard. Law is not complex. I can understand what's going on and what to do and when, like Kevin in Brea, called on a conference call. You heard him. Beat his traffic tickets with Freedom Law School's courses. You can do it too. And have fun. Can you tell Kevin have fun? Have you laughing, being these crooks and criminals? The judges just run away. They don't want to meet with him. They want to, let another judge will hear your case. The district attorney wants to talk to him. Hey, what is it that you want? You know, they respect them. These government lawyers and judges respect them because Kevin took the step to learn about the law and his rights and stand up on his own two feet like a man, like an independent, sovereign American man, stood on his rights, but knowing the law and his rights and the proper procedures to assert them, he took the time to learn and do it, and he won. and you can win too. It's up to you. Winning is an option. If you want to win, Freedom Law School has a roadmap for you. Freedom Law School's courses and freedom packages. At livefreenow.org, they're listed there. Have any questions, you can call Freedom Law School, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Times on weekdays. And I'll be glad to be with you. And folks, I invite you to live free and be an example for your family members, your friends, your coworkers, people in your community, that you are a free, independent, sovereign man and is not afraid of these IRS crooks, other government officials. They will not mess with you. And if they do mess with you, you'll beat them back. You'll win over them like Kevin did, like I did. So with that, folks, we can take this message to a lot more people. Have our movement grow. Have more people recognize what's going on because they see you as a colonel, as a general in your local area, teaching them about the law, teaching them an example of success and winning. And they get inspired, and more people will get involved and take action and have more victories. Folks, for example, we need more people to get on grand juries, citizen grand juries, and investigate these corrupt politicians, corrupt judges, prosecutors, police, government officials of any kind, and indict them. A t-shirt at jurypower.org. You're going to like that website, jurypower.org. It all starts with you. Are you committed to living a free life? Are you willing to do your homework? Freedom Law School is there to back you up, educate you, be a source of education, inspiration, freedom solutions, and successes that work for you. So with that, folks, I invite you to go livefreenow.org. If you have not done so already, get one of your free education we'll send you. Tell your friends about us. Become a fan of Freedom Law School on our Facebook page. And we'll be in touch, folks. We're going to have this movement grow. And one of these days, folks, we will get rid of this income tax lie corrupt system, get rid of this phony money system, this Federal Reserve system where the banks make the money out of thin air by counterfeiting it legally by billions. Congress allows them to do that. We'll stop that. Restore the Constitution and restore peace, freedom, and prosperity to America. Thank you for taking your time and listening to me. And I look forward to being with you again next Thursday and every Thursday night at FM Law School's weekly conference call. Good night.